Y'all hear that? We rising up 1,000 times. Like over and over and over and over and over and over again, we are rising. You got that? No holding us back. Good morning, church family. How's everybody doing? I'm doing just fine. I'm so glad to see each and every one of you. I think I heard a lyric in the song that we're like all together. Like something about being together. What was that lyric, Yannick? What did it say? What was that lyric? Right, something about us all being together in that lyric.
All we need is hope, but for that we have each other.
Huh. For that we have each other. For that we have each other. Hey, Yannick, could you just do me a real small favor? I know I'm putting you on the spot, but could you do me a favor? You know that song that they sing at the very beginning, the Use Me song?
Okay.
Can you just do just a little bit of that? I kind of feel like I need to hear it. Just you.
The words go.
Use me, oh God, I stand for you.
Okay.
And here I'll.
Use me, oh God, I stand for you, and here I'll abide as you show me all that I must do.
Woo!
That's it.
That's all I needed. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Welcome again, everybody. Those of you who are visiting, or if it's your first time, or you back after a long time, we extend open arms of love around you. And I hope you know by now that we consider you family. We're family here. This is a village. The Spirit of God is always present in this place, and there can be no separation from God's presence. Therefore, there can be no separation between us, the children of God. Therefore, no matter who you are and how far you came this morning, for all the rest of your days on this planet, you are blessed. Yes, you are tremendously blessed from the top of your head to the bottom of your feet. You are blessed, 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 blessed. And every area of your life is blessed. I'm feeling like I need a little piece of tape right here. Okay? Otherwise, I'm going to keep on working with it until somebody can maybe bring me a piece of tape. Okay? Can you all hear me okay? Okay, good. So I'm going to keep going. I want you to place your left hand over your heart. And then I want you to put your right hand over your left hand. And just center yourself. Take a moment to just bless your heart for beating like it does for you. And bless all your vital organs. And bless the blood in your veins. And bless your voice so that you can speak your truth. And bless your eyes so that you can see with the eyes of God. And bless your ears so that you can hear with the ears of God and comprehend with the inside of God. Good. Now just take a moment without words to honor our neighbors. This is a nonverbal exchange of energy. All I want you to do is just look into your neighbor's eyes and welcome them in this place from the center of your heart. Thank you. Good. That's real good. Excellent. Thank you. Now, I'm going back to you. Take a moment to honor your whole self in this sacred moment, in this now. Take a deep breath and exhale. I want you to examine for a moment the areas in your life that need a blessing right now. Let's purposefully bless these areas that are difficult, the areas that don't feel so good right now. And I give thanks right now along with you for clarity and for resolution and for healing. Do you accept that blessing? All right. Let's just take a moment, everybody, to simplify things this morning. You know, sometimes we get so busy doing everything all at once because here in New York City, things move. If you're on your way to an appointment and you're behind a group of tourists that are taking their sweet time, enjoying the view, it can make you kind of cringe and say under your breath, I know they ain't from around here. We expect them to know that we in New York City have very important assignments. But let's just take a minute to just flow this morning at a snail's pace. Let's check in with ourselves. Let's not overlook the blessings that surround us. See, the only way to be in the now is to breathe in the now. This never before moment. An hour from now, we will have forgotten all about this. But for now, since we're taking the time, let's really take it in. We go so fast, we forget to acknowledge that our prayers are being answered in this moment. A family member of mine turned 75 the other day. He said, "The only thing I wanted for my birthday was to wake up." He said, "I don't need all the fluff and the this and the that. I'm just happy to be alive." In Ann Voskamp's book, on the title page, just before the title is written, "Dare to live fully right where you are." The title of the book is 1,000 Gifts. Now, she is the mother of six who discovers that her name, Ann, means full of grace. And in the book, she takes on a journey of living her life daily from the consciousness of being aware of grace and being grateful for everything. And she makes a list of 1,000 gifts, things she's grateful for in the moment. She writes, "Being in a hurry, getting to the next thing without fully entering the thing in front of me, I cannot think of a single advantage I've ever gained from being in a hurry, but 1,000 broken and missed things. Tens of thousands lie in the wake of all the rushing. Through all the haste that I thought I was making up time, it turns out I was throwing it away. Haste makes waste." Now, surely she doesn't live in New York City, but she has a point, I believe. In her book, Anne inserts a remarkable quote by another author, Elizabeth Elliot, from her book titled Through Gates of Splendor. It reads as follows: "Wherever you are, be all there." How many times are we not fully where we are physically? Because we have a deadline to achieve, a place to be, groceries to buy, a promise we made, something or anything overcrowding the presence of now. I try not to live in the mode of regrets, but I do often think of moments I wish I could do over. Like the first time I noticed that Mama was slowing down a little bit. I guess I was in denial. We don't want to see someone we've shared a whole lifetime with slow down. It was graduation day, a stadium full of people, ticketed seats, pomp and circumstance. The sun was in full blast. Humidity was high. It was one of those moments in our family to celebrate. But when I look back over the years, what was the big hurry? "Mama, it's going to start soon. Come on, Mama." Mama kept telling me, "Baby, I'm doing the best I can." Now I asked myself, how different is one graduation from the next? And since we were already there, why was it necessary for me to try to rush a mama who was not going to be rushed in the first place to her seat? It wasn't like the seat was going to move or that somebody was going to take her seat. We had tickets in our hands. I can't possibly do that day over again. But it did make me realize that every now is way more precious than you can imagine it to be 5 or 10 or more years later. I don't dwell on that image of my mama walking in her cute sweatsuit that day. I dwell on the opportunity it gave me to soak in the moments that add up to this present now. These are the moments and minutes and seconds and nows that gradually begin to fill in the dash. You know, the dash that indicates the moment of years we're alive. The time in between the very first breath we take and the very last one. The time we have to live in the joy of now, or in sorrow, or in regret, or in the past. Earlier this week, I was working with a group of ambitious little third graders, a creative writing residency. I was directing the children one by one to make a huge circle around an overcrowded classroom filled with tables and chairs and books and folders and science projects. I asked a beautiful girl with a smiling face to move into the circle. She said, "I can't." I went around to her desk to check out the situation and realized that she had no legs. She was one of the kids that they call inclusion students because she is normally in another classroom. Now, of course, I felt awful. I then discovered that she had been brought in on a wheelchair, but I didn't see her being brought in and transferred to a chair because I had already started the workshop. The liaison in charge of bringing me into the school was absent that day, and therefore the classroom teacher didn't brief me on this, and I didn't remember to ask the classroom teacher if there was anything I needed to know before starting the workshop. I decided in this great moment of awkwardness to just breathe. It didn't make sense to beat myself up or to have a meltdown, but the children were watching me to see how I was gonna handle the situation. The classroom teacher saved the day and said, "Miss Benjamin, why don't we let the circle come to either side of Melody?" And I said, "Great idea." I spent the rest of my time helping Melody and all the students know that they were indeed poets and writers with great ideas. Melody was absent the next day. And of course, I internalized it. I thought it was my fault that she was absent. Thought it was all about me. It wasn't. She was just absent. And you should have seen Melody and all the rest of the third graders last Friday performing in front of their peers and their family members, their poems and their short stories with props and costumes and joy. Just plain old joy. That's what we forget to fill in the moments of our lives with joy. Melody rolled up to the stage, introduced herself to the audience, all fixed up in the cutest little outfit you could imagine, about 30 barrettes and ribbons in her hair. The last two lines of her poem were, "But I didn't give up because I'm a genius." And her classmates echoed in a choir of encouragement, "Yes, you are a genius." Ever catch a glimpse of yourself in the glass of a window or in the mirror? Are you mostly smiling or mostly frowning? Is that panic look of, "I've got to get it done right now, oh my God," on your face? It's what will happen if I do, what will happen if I don't, what will happen if I'm right, what will happen if I'm wrong, what will happen if I never make it, what will happen if she or he stops loving me, what will happen to me, who will I become if my life doesn't look the way it's supposed to look? I can't love myself like this, I'm unworthy. 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter and the 8th verse. reminds us of the power of love during life's difficult moments. It says, love never fails. Say it. Love.
Love never fails.
Love never fails. The Most High God, the creator of this vast universe, loves you with a purposeful, unconditional, never-ending love. You don't have to earn it. Just like grace, it's free. Even when you don't have the capacity to love yourself, life is loving you anyway. So let's just stop and allow ourselves to be vulnerable for a moment this morning. Just take a moment and let life love you. Meditate on that. You don't have to beg life for love. Life is just loving you from every angle. Life is actively loving me right now. Let me hear you say that.
I am worthy of love.
It's that simple. You don't have to research it, double check it, investigate it. Life is loving you because you are love expressing as you. Now take a long, stingy breath. Good. Now breathing is the first thing to do when you need to instantaneously bring yourself back into this now present moment. Panicking won't do it. It will just help you to build the mountain of unbalance and fear. Wherever you are, be there. It's not a race. We don't have to rush our way through. But if we don't take the time to quiet our anxieties and our fears, whatever seeps into our conscious awareness will take over. Next thing you know, you feel upside down. We don't feel balanced. We don't feel centered. We don't feel blessed. And we definitely don't feel loved. You might even feel like you're not good enough. And the subliminal messages that we get from the commercials begin to slip into your consciousness. All you have to do is listen to 30 seconds of any advertisement, and you start second-guessing everything. And they're good at it. They make you feel like if you're not driving a Lexus up the FDR Drive or the Harlem River Drive, or wearing your designer clothes with the newest dye in your hair and holding the hand of your lover, that you're not up to snuff. It doesn't take long to start building the list of what's wrong with you, right? You begin to feel unsatisfied with your now. You find yourself dwelling on what you think you need to be happy and whole right now. We talk ourselves into believing that we've been shortchanged. And then we start comparing ourselves to everyone around us. You were doing so well until you saw someone that you used to know, and they're making a whole lot more money than you are. Ouch. You begin to feel like, for whatever reason, you need to be younger. A lot younger. A whole lot younger. You might feel like you need to have a certain balance in your bank account in order to be full of joy. You'll be happy again as soon as you walk down the aisle for the first time, or the next time, or the next time, or the very last time. Or do you plan to be overjoyed when you're the exact right weight, wearing the just right size? Or when your hair is longer or shorter or thicker or wavier or curlier or straighter? You have a whole list of deadlines to meet before you can be content, a whole list of limitations. When you limit your short-term or your long-term joy or the joy of the moment, you are not in the flow of the beautifully resounding now. If we can't appreciate the now, how can we appreciate the then? I went to visit a woman a few weeks ago with whom I shared the stage with on many occasions. We used to perform together everywhere. We rehearsed with the band, practiced duets, poetry, songs, live music. It was a marvelous, fulfilling experience. When I ran into her a few months ago, she didn't seem to recognize me. So I made a mental note to give her a call.
Finally, about 3 weeks ago, I called her and she recognized my voice and invited me over to visit her. I went to her home, she peeped me through the peephole and seemed to recognize me just fine, but seemed almost afraid to open the door for me. When she did open it, she smiled her big smile, gave me a big hug, asked me if I wanted something to drink a few times. And it took a very long time for her to make it, but she did bring it and it was perfect. She shared with me that she was under her doctor's care because she was having trouble with her memory, but went on to give me a delightfully complete review of the brand new restaurants in the area. This one has the best breakfasts, and this one has the best brunch, and this one has the best drinks, and she gave me a little wink. I noticed an auburn red wig on her piano, and a few hairpins here and there in her living room. And she was playing that old school gospel, like Going Up Yonder and Oh Happy Day, and Aretha was singing her version of Amazing Grace. She turned the music down and proceeded to tell me about her wig on the piano. She told me she almost lost her hair, her wig that day, because of the wind. We laughed so hard. She told me the whole story 3 times during my visit. But she gave the same facts every time. I was crossing the street, the wind was blowing so hard, somebody yelled out to me, "Miss, you're losing your hair." And she said, "And I grabbed you just like this, Gayel." We had a good time enjoying the now. We were all into the moment. She was fighting desperately to hold on to her memory. And I was able to slow myself down enough to tune into her. No, I didn't bother to ask her or to remind her that she had already told me the same story 3 times because that's who she is now. It didn't cost me a dime to listen to her story, to care, to not rush, or to make her feel as if she was a burden. Wherever you are, be all there. Anne Voskamp shares in another section of her book, "I have lived the runner, panting ahead in worry, pounding back in regrets, terrified to live in the present, because the here time asks me to do the hardest of all, just to open and receive. This is where God is in the presence. I am is God's name, and I am full of the weight of the present, that the river of time slows to a still, and I know that God is timeless." She goes on to say, "I enter into the current moment with the weight of all of my attention. I slow the torrent. I only live the full life when I live fully in the moment." The presence of God is asking us in this very moment to be open and receptive to receive the gifts that are being whispered in our ears from the Holy Spirit. In the book of Joshua, Joshua is informed by God that Moses is dead. He is told not to lament and mourn the loss of Moses, and that it was his time now as Moses' successor to lead the children of Israel to the promised land. Now that's easier said than done because Joshua and Moses were a team. They were like brothers, you know? Moses was Joshua's mentor, but God had been preparing Joshua for this leadership role the whole time. Joshua didn't feel as though he was quite ready, but he was already prepared to continue what Moses had begun. Are you prepared for your next task or divine assignment? Are you open? Joshua continued his journey just like we are all meant to do. We don't have to mourn forever and ever the loss of someone we love. We can celebrate that person's life if we choose. I have lost so many people on my life's journey, beginning with my childhood girlfriend, Della Ruth. She passed away during her 10th birthday celebration. One moment laughing and playing and running, and the next minute gone. But I now choose to see her laughing. I choose to celebrate that she could hit a baseball harder than any boy we played with. I choose to live my life fully. And when I think of her, I might shed a tear or two, but I smiled at the blessing that she was and that she still is to me now. I'm grateful for the blessing of ever meeting a girl that was a straight-up tomboy and climbed trees and helped me learn how to get in trouble and how to get away with it. She was a gift to me. And I can tell you for sure that Della Ruth, who sang in the children's choir and giggled under her breath at not-need women whose nylons made that awful scraping sound, she lived in the moment. What happened to the joy we used to own? Living in the now can take the load from your shoulders. It can allow you to free yourself from restraints and limitations. You can't take your first breath and your last breath all in one moment. You can only do one now at a time. But we can be so easily distracted. I was recently working with a group of the feistiest seniors that you would ever want to meet. But only about 15 of them regularly attend a group that I run at their center once a year. They have all-day-long activities, including bingo, Zumba dancing, trips to the farmer's market, trips to the mayor's office to complain. These seniors, they're on the case. There is no evidence whatsoever of the fat lady singing at that center. However, there is one woman who gives me shade every time I go. It's not my business, why, but sometimes don't you just want to meddle all into something that should not be your concern? Anyway, I was getting ready for the group, and she brushed by without a greeting and said to the woman I was having a conversation with, as if I wasn't present, her group is supposed to be down the hall today. And I said, good morning. She said nothing. She actually kind of grunted, like she was annoyed that I was speaking to her and that I should have known that if she wanted to speak to me, she would have. But that is not my business, right? But she was making me, no, I was allowing her to make me lose my cool. I was ready to switch lanes without a blinker and follow her down the highway to who knows where I would have ended up. She did not appear to be a happy camper, but that is her business. When or if she chooses to acknowledge me or not, not mine. My ego was furious. So Miss Betty, who is in the group, comes up to me and says, "What's wrong?" I felt so immature. But I found myself almost saying, I don't know why she don't like me. But I did come up with a slightly more sophisticated way of saying, I don't know why she don't like me. Betty said, now listen here. And Betty is about 6 feet tall, and she's strong, and she's confident, so I had to listen. She said, what did you come in here to do today? And I said, to have a group with the women who want to be in the group and to have fun and to get ready for our show coming up in June. Betty looked at me and said, I thought so. Now let's have our group. I was getting all caught up in why the lady who never speaks to me doesn't speak to me. Why does it matter? The only thing that really mattered was my intention. Nothing else matters. That's why we need those moments to go in the corner and give all of it, every single bit of it, over to God before we get way off course from our divine assignments. Because the isness of God is not always our business. But life can surely draw your attention to who you are being and how you're showing up on the pages of your journey. In Eric Butterworth's book, Life is for Living, which is a Unity classic, he reiterates King Solomon's words, as a man thinketh within himself, so he is. And how Solomon pointed to the vital truth that we are constantly being molded and shaped by the mental attitudes we hold, constantly shaping and molding our destinies. He goes on to say that though we rationalize our state or station in life as being the inevitable result of events and circumstances over which we have no control, the truth is that the experiences of life are important only in the attitudes we form about them. He shares the following story in the book. One night, a boy's father brought his boss home from dinner. The boss, a gruff and self-centered man, was a perfect caricature of all the jokes and jests that are made about bosses in general. The young lad stared at him through the evening. Finally, the man asked the boy, "Why do you keep looking at me that way?" The boy replied, "My daddy says you're a self-made man." The boss beamed all over at this and admitted that he was. With utmost candor, the boy said, "But why did you make yourself like that?" Don't make yourself into a list of limitations. Don't prolong your joy or your happiness or your forgiveness. Is there anybody you need to forgive this week? Is there anybody you need to forgive today? Do you need to forgive yourself and let yourself off the hook? The time is now to build up your spiritual reservoir. Make a jar of jokes and pull them out when you need to laugh, or write down events that had you buckled over in laughter. And laugh out loud. It refuels you. It renews you. It strengthens you and it uplifts you. Make a jar of affirmations. My favorite one is, "I'm alive, alert, awake, and enthusiastic about my life. My spirit knows it and my body shows it." I'm alive, alert, awake, enthusiastic about my life. My spirit knows it and my body shows it. Am I right? And I will pull that affirmation out at any given moment, especially when the energy around me is starting to feel like dead weight energy. Woo! You got to have your affirmations. Put your favorite uplifting scriptures and quotes in a jar, and then put them all in the cabinet with your favorite recipes or your favorite ingredients, and pull out what you need at the appropriate time. Often what you need will be the first thing you touch or come across without even trying. That's Spirit's way of speaking to you. Now, back in the day, everyone knew that Rahab was I can't say what we would call her today, but she was a prostitute. It was no secret. They called her a harlot back in the day. She knew what they called her to her face, and she knew what they called her behind her back. But when her time came, she embraced the fact that she was a worthy child of God. And she silenced all the gossip and all the names she had been called. She embraced the fact that she was somehow worthy enough to get a message from the Holy Spirit who directed her into what to do. She was eventually assisted the children of Israel in overtaking Jericho. When it was time, she allowed the Holy Spirit to work in and through her. She sacrificed her life. She put her life in danger, rather, by providing shelter for the men of God. She helped them to accomplish what they had set out to accomplish. Her only request, and she had to know that she was worthy in order to make such a request, was that she and her family be spared during the Battle of Jericho. She made arrangements for her family to remain alive. Under Joshua's leadership and expertise, the soldiers walked around the city one time per day for 6 days. And on the seventh day, they walked around the city 7 times. And 7 priests carrying trumpets of ram's horns sounded a long blast, and the whole army joined forces and shouted the walls of Jericho down. Archaeologists and theologians agree that the walls fell down so flat, as if the hand of God had pushed the walls into the ground, making an easy passageway for the children of Israel. Rahab's whole family was saved. And as her strength was renewed and her faith was renewed, she knocked down her own walls of limitations. She stopped listening to or caring about her past. She recognized herself in this now moment. She changed her mind about who she was. She held her head up high. And the fact that Rahab, who was a prostitute way back in the day, could change her life and to become a woman of God, she later on became an ancestor of the Christ child. That's how much her life changed. When she reached the final moments of her life, she was no longer known as the you-know-who who used to do the you-know-what. She was known as a proud woman who lifted herself up and dusted off her limitations. She anointed herself in prayer and in gratefulness. She took advantage of her now. She grasped onto her faith and spent the rest of her days living her life fully. Are you listening to the Holy Spirit within you? I dare you this morning to live your life fully. I dare you to lift up your voice and knock the walls of self-doubt and limitation down. I dare you to hold on to your faith of a mustard seed and watch your faith expand and flourish. It's your time. Repeat after me. In the moment, in the now, in the dash, I live my life fully. In the book of Amos, the prophet Amos, who, by the way, did not go to school to be a prophet, had no dreams of being a prophet, but was appointed by God to be a prophet. However, before he became a prophet, he cultivated the land. He was a farmer. And he knew about seasons and when to plant what and the best time of the year. He was very aware of what to grow in each season. His insight and knowledge as a farmer prepared him for his next divine assignment. See, try not to limit yourself to only one or two divine assignments. God is full of adventure in it. And expansion. Be still and let God be God in you. In Amos, the 9th chapter, in the 13th verse, and this is from the Message translation because I feel the theme of the passage is clearer here. Amos talks about a season of acceleration, a season of never-ending blessings. It reads, "Yes, indeed, it won't be long now. Things are going to happen so fast your head will swim. One thing fast on the heels of the other, you won't be able to keep up. Everything will be happening at once. And everywhere you look, blessings, blessings like wine pouring off the mountains and hills." Isn't that beautiful? See, you don't have to rush and scramble and run around to chase down your blessing. Blessings are already in action for your behalf. It is your Amos 9th chapter and 13th verse season. God will restore you in a way that one blessing overlaps the next. Just pay attention to your life in this moment and watch yourself rising up. You're on the rise. You're in the now. The children at St. Jude's Hospital had a graduation a couple of days ago. Right inside of the hospital, they wore their white caps and gowns and smiled as their names were called. I'm sure it was a very rough now for parents and other family members whose children were in the cancer ward. But when they were asked why that day was so important, little Max said, "Because I graduated." Little Asia said, "It's important to be nice to people." And little Travis said, "The most important thing in life was having fun and being healthy." So gather yourself for your journey right now. Squeeze away the old yesterdays, unless it enlightens you, unless it encourages you, unless it makes you smile, unless it allows you to heal, let it go. The light of now surrounds you. The love of now protects you. The power of now allows you to call forth your own acceleration and to dismiss the limitations. All of eternity is within this moment. Most of us know when we breathed our first breath and the date and time, but we don't know when our last one will be. That's none of our business. Just be grateful for every breath you have right now. You are accelerating. You are advancing. You are breathing. You are listening. Repeat after me. In the moment, in the now, in the dash, I love and appreciate myself exactly as I am. Say it again. I love and appreciate myself exactly as I am.
I love and appreciate myself exactly as I am.
And so it is, my brothers and sisters, right here in the now. And so it is. Thank you. Bless you. Thank you so much.
Taking that thought of being so blessed and looking for the blessings, let's move right now into meditation. I invite you to close your eyes and just feel your feet on the ground as we settle in and experience what Gail was talking about, the now, the dash, right here. I invite you to take a deep and cleansing breath as you exhale and feel the chair support your body. We have faith that the chair will hold us. And as you breathe in again, let's take another deep breath. Follow that breath down to your heart. And as you exhale this time, rest into your heart. Let's have that same faith. Just like the chair that's holding you, let's know together that God, Spirit, is ready, willing, and able to hold you and support you right now, wherever and however you are right now. You are an infinite being. That is the truth of you. You are energy made flesh. That same energy that comprises star stuff comprises you. Let's breathe again and let that idea wash over you. Take that in. I am an infinite being. I am. The I am of me is unlimited. The power of the universe moving through you is not based on good behavior. It doesn't care how many likes you have on Facebook or what health or family challenges you may be facing right now. The power and love of God is continually and right now flowing through your veins, breathing your lungs, and beating your heart. Let's know together the truth of this statement once again. I am unlimited. I am connected to the source of all. No matter what my outer circumstances may be, let's know that I am a perfect child of God right now. Let's breathe it in. I am perfect right now, right here. No matter what questions I may be facing, I know that the answers are here and on their way. No matter what my life looks like or feels like, God is greater than any challenge, lack, or diagnosis. I invite you to let go and cast any burdens you may feel or have in your mind and see them, imagine them melting into the arms of God, of Spirit, right now. And as we take a moment of silence, pouring all our burdens into the loving arms of God, let's just rest now in the presence of the all of Spirit. As we come back into this moment, right here on your chair, let's trust that you are exactly where you need to be on your life's journey, letting go, letting God guide us to our highest growth and deepest peace. Let's know together and choose to have faith that God's plan, Spirit's blueprint, is bigger and richer than we could ever have imagined. We take this opportunity in silence to let our burdens go, open our hearts to divine wisdom and guidance, and we say thank you, God, for the many blessings we have already experienced and for the many more miracles yet to come. We are united in the infinite power of God, and all is well, and all will be well. Thank you, God, and so it is. Amen.